And tonight, what a joy that we can once again stand upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have embarked upon a series of lessons on building on the rock. I would ask you to go once again, as you did last evening, to Matthew the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 18, actually through 19. But last evening we noticed the confession, the rock solid confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we noted last evening the phrase, upon this rock, I will build my church. And what joy we had in looking at that lesson last evening. The reasons, well, as we introduced last night, because the Father purposed it before time began, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Upon this rock I will build my church. Because the prophets of old prophesied by inspiration, as noted in Isaiah 2 verses 1 through 3, and fulfilled there in Acts 2. And we noted last night, upon this rock, I will build my church, because the Son of God promised to build his church, as we note here in the text of Matthew 16, 16 through 18. Now once again, think on this for a moment. Let this sink in carefully. God and the prophets of old, inspired by the Spirit, and the Son upon this earth spoke of the church. Dear friends, if the Father and the Son and the Spirit affirms the church we read of in the New Testament, then it is worthy for you and I to see that church, to be a part of that church, to encourage others to be a part of that church, because we know that church is correct because the Bible speaks of it through the Father, through the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So tonight, we want to continue building on the rock with a part two. We understand the purpose, the prophets, and the promise with authority. Let's continue our thoughts tonight. Let us continue as we note, upon this rock, I will build my church because of the purchase price. Everything has a price. I remember years ago, and I've referred to this some in my secular work, that I called upon a national corporation and trying to encourage them to use or buy candy for the first time. And she looked, I don't mind calling out the name, she looked and she said, "Now, what is Cracker Barrel's price?" And did you catch what she did? She didn't ask me, "What is your price? How much does that cost?" No, she wanted to know, what is Cracker Barrel's price? Do you know why? She wanted that price. Matter of fact, of negotiating and talking, and I realized that I could not make that call, but I knew somebody who could. And so I turned it over to the higher-ups. But at least I can say I got my foot in the door at Cracker Barrel, and that was kind of cool at the time. But nevertheless, everything has a price. You go to the store, you pay a price. Tonight I was sharing with Ronnie some emails I received today of television price cost and what it costs depending on the market. Everything has a price. Have you ever considered that the church was purchased with a price? The price? You find that price in Acts 20 and verse 28. Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. Tells them to take heed unto themselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, that you may feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Every drop shed on Calvary purchased the church of our Lord. When we dig deeper and we find that precious blood of the Lamb that John said in John 1:29 would take away the sin of the world, how Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19 tells us that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The praising of those in Revelation 5 and verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. And indeed, because that is the purchase price paid. The blood that paid the price purchased you and I. Purchase those who are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Individuals that through the blood of Jesus Christ are redeemed Ephesians 1 and verse 7, and we noticed moments ago in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. A word of being redeemed as a slave purchasing his freedom. In other words, the slave is provided the funds to purchase his freedom. And through the blood of Christ, we have our freedom from sin purchased as Jesus paid the price. Through the blood of Christ, we are reconciled to God. Colossians 1 and verse 20. Made from enemy to friend. And in Romans 5 and verse 9, we are justified by the blood of Christ. Just as if I'd, love that definition, just as if I'd never sinned. The blood of Christ paid the price. In Hebrews 13 and verse 12, we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are set apart from the world, but we are set apart unto Him. For so many years, I would say it until I grew and learned better in study, sanctified means set apart. Well, there's more to it. Set apart from the world, yes, but set apart unto Christ to make a difference in this world that we did not make before. Friends, the price for the church was the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other price, precious as a lamb, the specific payment, and it purchases the lost soul. When one obeys the gospel through the blood of Christ, one can obey the stated price. Now, we asked over and over last evening to the lover of God, those in this assembly tonight, those who say, I love God, I'm thankful for what God is doing, I believe in God, to those who are viewing us tonight online, here is the question. As a lover of God, would we not want to be a part of the church that was purchased with His blood, or do we want to put our soul in a man-made church, a denominational choice that when you get down to it, cost nothing? There is not blood of any man that could purchase his own church. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Now when you put all this together, you have the church purposed in the mind of God before time began. Prophets of old spoke of it. Jesus on this earth promised it. And then when He died upon the cross and shed His blood, He purchased the church. Let's keep thinking on this now. I see all that is done for you and for me. Not another church was purposed in the mind of God. Not another church prophesied by the prophets of old. Not another church promised. Not another church purchased. I see all this done for me and all this done for you. Would you consider tonight our second point, altogether a fifth point over two nights? Upon this rock I will build my church and know that the saved has a part within the church. I mean, moments ago we noted that we are individuals saved by Christ who are redeemed, individuals who are reconciled, who are justified and sanctified. All words that move us from a lost state to a saved state. And Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, it was some time back I read a survey that one-third of Americans, not within the world, one-third of Americans have confidence in the church or in organized religion. Now, friends, doesn't surprise me. Not in this nation. Actually, I thought the number might be higher. I really did. I thought the number might be higher. Now, think with me for a moment. When the church is spoken of throughout the media and in the world, isn't it always presented in a negative way? You let some type of scandal happen in any type of organization called a church, and it gets the lead story. And people say, I want no part of that. I also submit to you that people have a problem, as they say, with organized religion. The reason that people have a problem with organized religion is because the religion they're looking at is not organized. When you think about it, When you and I look at the word organized religion, there is an order there of religion, and the Bible speaks of pure religion, James 1, 26 and 27. Now people like to look at organized religion, saying its flaws, its problems and all. Now folks, when you sit back and you look at it through the world's eyes, that's what happens when we fail to respond to God's prayer through the Son, or the Son's prayer to the Father, rather, of unity or being one. You ever had a person tell you, I wouldn't mind going to church? Now, that's a terminology we use. We actually go to the assembly. We go to worship. The church, the saved, assembles. But let's just use the terminology we're used to. You know what I mean in the context. I would go to church, but I'm so confused as to what I would do or where I would go. Friends, this is why we are coming back tonight, not only here, but as we view tonight online, to simply go back to the Bible, to understand the church we read of in the New Testament, and make that plea to be a part of that church, and for us to think on this. There is no better way to live than to have a life organized by God. As we note from Matthew 5:13 through 16, lights in the world, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth, all that take an impact in the lives of others. To be an example of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, we would graciously acknowledge within the Lord's church that we get as upset as other people do when people are not living the way they should live. It hinders what we try to do when all of these other things are going on in the world. And sometimes it's hard to reason with people who easily want to point out at this person, or point out at that person, or point this is wrong or that is wrong. You know, it's amazing. A person says, I would not want to go to the church because of all the hypocrites there, and they generally use it. But it's amazing. They will go to work, and if I were to question them, there's probably a bunch of hypocrites within their workplace. There are individuals who are not carrying through their jobs the way they should be carrying through. Well, what about school? Do you think everybody in school is making A's and B's? Are there those who are causing problems? Are there those who are not doing their part? Are you sitting in a class when a teacher, y'all remember, y'all are cultured enough, you like me, you got the hair to prove it or the wrinkles to show it, whatever the case might be, when they used to grade on the curve. And then somebody would blow the curve, and we'd all pay the price. Well, we didn't get mad and quit school. But when it comes down to the church, now we want to reach for every reason. So let me just put something to rest here online and even out here tonight. Folks, we are against hypocrisy, because the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of His church, of which we are a part and which we plead people to have a part, He was against hypocrisy. Matthew 7, Matthew 23, over and over. Friends, we will graciously acknowledge, you can't obey the gospel of Christ and live just any way you want. You cannot obey the heavenly given command and live a heathenish life or a heathen life on this earth. You cannot walk around in Saturday night sin and then become a Sunday morning saint. You can't do that. We acknowledge that. Those that do will give an answer unto God. Now, go with me quickly here. Now, it's going to be hard to turn to all these, but let's just start in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, when they were added to the church, you'll back up to verse 42, and here's what you and I read. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And we find how they served and how they helped one another. All right, let's stay there. When we go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the Bible says that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So not only do I see the way we should live in Acts 8, but we need to live lives telling people of the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. You and I are scattered abroad every day, if you will. And you very well may be the one individual to lead one to Jesus Christ. Could be a person at work. Could be a person at home. Could be a person at school. Could be a person in your coffee club. Could be whatever the case might be. So, are you with me so far? How we should live. Let's go now to the book of Romans. Let's check out the church at Rome. How about Romans 12 verse 1? I beseech you, gently beg you, brethren, by the mercies of Christ, I urge you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Church at Rome, are you supposed to act a certain way? Yes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Ooh, that'd be a sermon by itself. First three chapters, Paul deals with their division and their problems, and he keeps pointing them back to Christ. You can't live like that. To where he warns them not to have division among themselves, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. But be joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. When there were problems with the church, and there will be problems because we are human, when there's problems with the church, they are to be addressed just like Paul addressed it here in 1 Corinthians. He spent the first three chapters dealing with their division, and then he continued to move on in teaching and instruction to correct them. Oh, you have a man committing adultery, having an affair with his father's wife, his stepmother. Now look, church, even the heathens wouldn't brag about it, and you all think it's something else. Folks, if they would have had social media in the book of 1 Corinthians, that book would have been 27 chapters long. They would have been talking about this and talking about that. But look what all they were surrounded with. Friends, may I add something here? To the elders here at Leone, to brethren wherever you may attend, Rock Cliff, wherever you may go. When we have problems in the congregation, fix it! Because if you don't, there's going to be another problem around the corner. And then there's going to be another one behind that. And the next thing you know, we've got so much on the back burner, you can't cook good works on the front burner. And when you put too much on the back burner, food's going to ruin. When a problem arises, address it, fix it, move onward. Because another one's going to come up. Now that is easier said than done, folks, I know. But Paul addresses when problems arise. Why, even to the point he wrote them a second letter. We go to 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Speaking of the promises of God from chapter 6, he says, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting or maturing holiness in the fear of God. You and I mature, perfect, and grow. Now, what have you noticed with me so far from Acts chapter 2, where we moved from Jerusalem, visited the church at Rome, visited the church at Corinth? What have we come across so far? Have we not been instructed that we are to live faithful lives for God and you just can't live any way you want? That's why, church, the saved has a part within the local church. We are a part. Now let's visit all those congregations in the region of Galatia. What did Paul say in Galatians 5, beginning with verse 19? Did he not deal with works of the flesh that are evident? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. Pause right here. Have you all noticed how worse it's getting? I mean, idolatry, when you leave God and follow idols, and then you get into sorcery, then there's hatred, then there's contentions, you see it builds. Verse 21, envy, then to murders, oh my, drunkenness, revelries, and the such like, of which I tell you beforehand, who is he telling this to? The church, the called out of God. I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, now, preacher, quit talking about things that are negative. Quit talking about all the bad. Well, all right, stay with me in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There's your positive. Now, would you look at verse 24? Those who are Christ, the saved, the church, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now you get back negative, preacher. Well, excuse me. Sometimes you have to know the negative to appreciate the positive, and when you are positively obedient to the gospel, you move away from the negative. And if you go too far on one extreme, then you miss the other. Friends, that should not be. So he's telling the churches here, here's how you need to live. Let's visit over at Ephesus. Well, that's where we learn about how the Lord purchased the church with his own blood. So let's pay a visit over to Ephesus quickly, to chapter 4 and verse 29, when he tells the Christians, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, church, you have a part. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil, speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away, but put on or be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, dear lover of God, may I ask you a question? Would you not agree that the Bible instructs us that the church should live a faithful life for God and how we should not live? Indeed. While we're on a roll here, let's visit Philippi. Did he not tell them in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus? And then later in the same chapter in verses 14 through 16, do all things without complaining, murmuring, and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You hold forth the word of life. Here's how we should be living. Let's leave Philippi and visit Colossae. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. While we would go to Thessalonica, and the first letter there in chapter 4 and verse 1, how one ought to walk and please God so one would abound more and more. And in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Now, friends, all I did was take us from Acts all the way through 2 Thessalonians, letters written to the churches, to the congregations, to the saved, and it is evident in every one of them that we need to live faithful lives for God, and unfaithfulness is just simply not allowed. Therefore, the church has a part in the church, purposed, prophesied, promised, purchased, and apart. How we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves, that we withdraw from those. When you have people who want to complain about the church, complain about someone, well, now, I know some people that go down there. Really? Are they living like they should? No. Well, I'm the preacher. Who are they? I'm the preacher. Look, I need to keep a job. Who are they? Give me some names here. Now, when you give me their names, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to quote you. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to sign it when I get done here. Because I'm going to go tell them what you said. I don't get that many acceptance of that offer, to be very honest with you. Never did. Or you ever notice a person, well, now tell me who it is. I tell you what, come on and let's go see one of them. You ever notice when people, brethren or people, when they go, it means they want to gripe, but they don't want to do anything about it. It's that moment, No. Well, look, we're trying to fix this. Friend, maybe you're the one that needs fixing. Because what you're reasoning with simply won't work on the day of judgment. And to use a parable tonight, your soul may be required of you. The point that I want to bring forth in this lesson on the church is that, yes, we need to make certain that we're living lives the way we need to live and to walk faithful for our Lord. And dear brother or dear sister, if we're not, then I hope tonight in a few moments when we stand to sing the song of invitation, the song of exhortation, that dear brother or dear sister, you'll come forward and confess those things, and let's pray with you and pray for you, and let's pray together. Because you see, in Ephesians 5:27, Jesus wants to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, dear lover of God, I ask you a question. Would we not want to be a part of the church that teaches us the best way to live, or a man-made church that teaches one how to live man's way? Because a lot of man-made churches have made concessions, have done this and done that, to where a lot of people are moving away from denominationalism and they are seeking the truth. They want to know. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of eunuchs in a chariot that's waiting for you to run to them, waiting for me to run to them. The church must have its part and faithful living. Now in a moment, we're going to sing the song of encouragement. And so let me give you the third and final one tonight. As we consider upon this rock, I will build my church. How great a joy to see a church purposed in the mind of God, prophesied by the pens of prophets through the Spirit of God, promised by the very Son of God by authority, purchased with His blood, and how we can have a faithful, active part. And now, upon this rock I can build my church, and how an individual can be added to the church, simple and plain. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, that's where it all begins. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Therefore, we take the Word of God, we study it, we hear it preached, and we believe in Christ. Now, Jesus told us in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So I understand that I must believe in Christ. I must believe in God first and foremost. Without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God, now we're talking about the individual, not a Christian, but someone says, well, I want to come to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He must believe he is God. Christ believed that I am he, therefore I must have faith in Christ. But I also realize with faith in Christ that faith alone by itself, I can believe all I want, but will that faith move me to do the things I need to do? For example, in John 12:42 and 43, there were those that believed on Christ, but they failed to confess him lest they be cast out of the synagogue. Now they had a faith in Christ, in God, that did not prompt them to confess him. Is that a saving faith? No. Nobody in the religious world can affirm that is a saving faith when your faith won't even move you to confess him. What about the faith of the devils? You know, they believe, yet they tremble. They believe, James 2:19, but a faith that doesn't move them from the devil. You see, friends, it's easy to believe in God and lose your very soul. I know a lot of people, I believe in God. You know the move a while ago? Well, no, I'm not going. You ever had somebody with that? Easy. You know, I believe in God. Well, good. I'll see you Sunday. Well, now, wait a minute. Friends, when you look at true biblical faith from cover to cover, true biblical faith, Abrahamic faith, obedient faith, is a faith that says, I believe in God, but you cannot wait to move after God in Christ. You want more than just a simple faith. Now, when Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins, is it not, dear lover of God, that if you believe in Christ, you're going to believe the teachings of Christ? You want to know more about Christ, of what you want to do? You know, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he looked and he said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repent. Luke 13, yes. He even said it again 2 verses later. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, if I believe in Christ, then I want to learn more about this repentance of what he is teaching. Amen? Now, let me understand this. Repentance. Before he ascended into heaven in Luke 24, we noticed last night, did he not look at his apostles and tell them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem? All right, now, he's now commanded to preach repentance. Well, that's interesting. And then Peter, in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The first thing he told them, repent. Take a pricked heart, repent, definition, change your heart. Change your decision, change your direction. Take a pricked or a broken heart, and change your heart. Now, I'm liking what I'm hearing. Repentance. That means a change of decision, change of direction. I can change my heart, and I can turn from the life I'm living and turn unto God. Tell me more about this repentance. Well, it was then preached again when we go over to Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Remember when you started believing in Christ and how good it felt? Yes. And now repentance can allow you to change your life? Yes. This is getting better. Paul standing on Mars Hill there in Athens, all that idolatry around him. You know, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands men everywhere to repent. May I ask you a question? Could those individuals that were advocating every kind of idolatry there on Athens, could they not have walked away from those idol gods who could not hear them, who could not see them, who could not bless them? Could they not walk away from all those idol gods and turn to the unknown God to whom Paul was preaching? And repentance would have been the sweetest move they could have made, because they could have turned unto a God, unto the Almighty God, who could hear and who could respond. I find it interesting that Peter didn't back off what he preached in Acts 2 and verse 38 when he said in the second letter that he penned, the church is scattered. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did Jesus correct 5 of the 7 churches, his congregations in Revelation 2 and 3, repent. Folks, repentance is a command. Can I repent without believing? Well, I can change my mind on a lot of things and change my direction, but it's not going to save me by itself. I already see that belief moves me to repentance, so faith by itself can't save me. What about faith and repentance? Can that do it? Well, let's keep thinking about this. When Jesus, the one whom we believe, if we believe his teaching on repentance, would we not believe his teaching on confession? In Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, or whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. To make the confession is to bring forth or to confess. And then I look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, now I'm getting there. The confession that Peter made, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 16:16. The same confession the eunuch made in Acts 8:37. So I see that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. He's getting there. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What's in his heart comes forth. I believe Jesus taught that in Matthew 15. So if I believe in Christ and I repent of my sins, change my decision, change my direction, and confess my faith in Christ, is there anything else? We're seeing what all Jesus is teaching. Well, friends, may I share one with you that's probably one of the most controversial things you could ever imagine. What about when a person is baptized into Christ? Aha! That's it. Aha! Yeah. You Church of Christers, I knew you had water on the brain, which I was accused of that recently. I knew you had it. Folks, first of all, let's get something straight. I am not a Church of Christer. I am a Christian. I am a member of the Church of Christ, the church that Jesus Christ promised because prophets prophesied it, his Father purposed it, and Jesus purchased it, and I am a member of the church, but I am a Christian. I am part of the church. And if you want to know how you can be added to the church, all I can do is take us back to the Christ and what he taught. In the Great Commission text, in Matthew 28:19, he taught them to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Oh, wait a minute. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus, who we believe, Jesus whom we trust in the teaching of repentance, Jesus whom we trust in the teaching of confession, has just taught us to be baptized. I now go to Mark's account to where he says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Verse 16. He that believeth what? Well, the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Friends, when I see that word and, it is a joining word that when you dig deeper, it is a word that takes the first word and takes the second word and joins them together, and one is just as powerful as the other, and one can wind up being weak without the other. For example, let's just say that I were to baptize an individual who does not believe. Now, Jeff, I tell you what, I do want you to baptize me, but I'll be honest with you. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the church, but I want you to baptize me. Well, friend, I can immerse you all day long, and all I'm going to do is put down a dry center and bring up a wet center. You have no faith. You have nothing to build it on. The baptism of Christ, as we'll notice in a moment, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. You don't believe in that. Why do you want to be immersed? It all goes back to faith, friends. See where we're going? Let's go to Luke's account once again, Luke 24:44-49, where Jesus told them repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then John's account of the Great Commission in John 21:20-23, how there would be those that if you remit their sins, they are remitted. How was the remission of sins accomplished on the day of Pentecost? Peter, would you answer that? Acts 2:38. Repent. Remember repentance? We believe what Peter said on repentance, but let's finish out the rest. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And remission of sins cannot come unless one is baptized. Well now, preacher, I thought that meant because one's sins are forgiven, one is then baptized. Well, may I take you to Acts 26:28, when Jesus spoke of His blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. May I ask you a question? When were remission of sins going to be available according to that text? When Jesus shed His blood for the remission of sins? Well, would you take a look at that for the remission of sins in Matthew 26:28, and take it over there and see for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. So are you saying that one has to be baptized in order to be saved? Yes, because the scripture is telling us that based upon one's faith, one's repentance, one's confession, and one is baptized into Christ. Dead in sin, buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, beautiful parallel of the gospel, Romans 6:4-6. That's how they were added to the church. Now tonight, if you've had yet to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's simply how you're added to the church. You believe in God. You're sitting among believers. You believe in God. Are you willing to change your life, change your direction? Confess Christ as the Son of God? Be buried with Him in baptism this evening? You can do that. The Christian that needs prayers on his behalf can do that because we have a part to play. The individual that's never been added to the Lord's church can be placed upon that rock by simple obedience to the gospel. So friends, whether you need to respond for prayers tonight or whether you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ through obeying His commands of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, this is your opportunity to respond as together we stand and while we sing.